You know, we were just coming off talking about some heavy stuff. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to bring you a little hope this morning. We have on the air with us right now, and it is Paul Carlberg, who is going to be talking to us about City Lights, a Christian light. It's a ministry he heads up, ministering to urban areas or low-income communities, and to basically strategize the best way to reach them by assisting pastors and churches and meeting with them in order to strategize to best minister to the local community where they're at, from communities in Philadelphia to Manhattan. Paul Carlberg joins us on the phone this morning. Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good to be with you.
It's good to be here with you as well, Paul. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. So you are with the Presbyterian Church in particular, that's correct?
That's right, Presbyterian Church in America.
And you have been ministering for how long with the Presbyterian Church?
Well, I go back, I would say, about 35 years.
35 years. Now, has that been in a ministerial capacity, or has that just been, you know, as a layperson, and you got educated, went into the ministry? How did that happen?
Well, yes, I after I attended seminary, Westminster Theological Seminary, I got called to a church in Savannah, Georgia, a Presbyterian church. I've been part of the Presbyterian Church ever since. That was back in 1976. Been associated with church ministry for about 35 years, most recently for 13 of those years at Proclamation Presbyterian Church in Bryn Mawr with Dr. Peter Lilback at that time. So most of my career has been in pastoral ministry. After I left Proclamation, I started my own work called City Lights.
And that's what you're doing right now, and
that's
ministering to basically communities and ministering to the churches and pastors who are influencing those communities. That's the bulk of what you do.
That's right. I work regularly with these churches and organizations, and we just try to stimulate ideas and encourage the outreach ministries, some in low-income communities in New York and Philadelphia. Others are more broadly based.
And those are more middle-class communities, you'd say.
That's right. That's right.
So you've been working for the past 13 years then as City Lights, or is that was just from the time you were at Proclamation Presbyterian?
That's right. I was at Proclamation for 13 years. 4 years ago, they encouraged me in my new desire to start my own ministry, and I left, and I've been in the City Lights, a Christian Vision ministry, for the past 4 years.
And so this is a relatively new ministry, although you apparently have raised, I'm looking at an email that you sent out, but you've apparently raised about $700,000 for a particular ministry in Manhattan called Manhattan Christian Academy. $700,000 in only a four-year-old ministry. That's quite astounding.
Well, that's not really. I meet with the director of development, who is a very interesting person, in that school in Manhattan regularly. And under his leadership and the headmaster, they raise $700,000 a year for that inner-city school. I've been helpful with some donors, bringing some monies their way over the years, but it's predominantly the work of this development director and headmaster that raises that kind of money for that inner-city school in Manhattan.
So tell us about what your goal then really is. So you meet with these pastors and these churches and their different ministries, and how often do you meet with them, by the way?
All right, well, let me tell you, one ministry started recently with Dr. Peter Lilback, who's president of Westminster Seminary. We've been friends for years. Of course, I worked with him at Proclamation. And we started a pastors and church leaders group we call Shepherd's Table, and we're meeting for the fourth time in September. And this group is composed of pastors and Christian leaders from throughout Philadelphia and some from New York City. It is represented by the American Bible Society, the New York City Leadership Center, which promotes the Movement Day activities. It also is attended by clergymen, and Dr. Wilson Good, the former mayor of Philadelphia, has been participating. Westminster Seminary and Biblical Seminary have representatives. So we have a pastor's leadership round table that we call Shepherd's Table that has been underway now for the past year, just meeting with leaders, encouraging them in their work, presenting the ideas of others who are engaged in special ministries in the area, just informing one another, praying for one another. So this has been a new effort to just bring unity and a vision to promote the gospel in Philadelphia in particular.
So what have you been able to achieve, especially here in Philadelphia?
Well, just getting these leaders together is an accomplishment because everybody is so busy, but we have had American Bible Society come to speak about their move to Philadelphia with their leadership. We've had the New York Leadership Center that has a conference in October in Manhattan that brings about 1,400 people from around the country to learn how to create gospel movements in their cities. Last time I attended their conference, there were 400 different American cities represented in that one-day conference. And they want to now go national with their Movement Day activities, including Philadelphia. So they come, and their leadership. We've also had people like Matt Daniels come and speak about his Good for All activity, which is to try to inform the public square of Christian values and the influence of Christianity in the public square in American history. He's been a very active leader based in Washington. He's come to speak to our group. So we've had just an opportunity to meet, to fellowship, to hear from various churches, church plants that are going on in Philadelphia and New York. It's exciting to hear about all the new churches that are being planted in Philadelphia and New York. In fact, the World Magazine, this current issue, talks about what's happening in New York City with a decline of some of the old mainline churches, but the growth of the evangelical ones. And that similar story is told about Philadelphia, too. Quite a number of new churches that are being planted, some of them going into old church facilities and taking them over.
Yeah, and in a city like Philadelphia, there's going to be plenty of those facilities, those old church buildings we drive by and marvel at the architecture, but that's about it, because
that's one reason
or another, the church isn't there anymore. So a lot of new churches are being planted, and that's a lot of good news coming out of especially Philadelphia, but also Manhattan, too.
That's right. That's right. There's been, they say, the last 10 years, maybe 150 new church plants in Manhattan. I'm not talking about the boroughs, just Manhattan. So there's been growth. You know, it's a small percentage overall, but still it's a positive growth, and in contrast to many of the mainline churches that are going the other direction.
So tell me, what's the overall rapport between pastors right now that you're meeting with? What is the what are the hopes of them?
Well, I would say we're trying to bring together across denominational lines, across racial lines, across economic lines, across every line you could think of, a group of leaders who want to work for the greater good of the gospel in the Philadelphia metropolitan area, suburban as well as urban, uniting together in our vision, our ideas, coming together to plan, to pray, and to hear about what's going on, to just share it. As you network with others, you find out more and more what's going on. You know, the great challenges we face in the church are certainly there, but we're also learning about the great blessings as God's people are doing various things in various ways, youth ministry, college ministry, seminary work, you name it, church planning that's going on. And then we need to be helping one another, coordinating together, working together in unity to advance the gospel.
And is that your vision then? What is your vision?
Yeah, that is the vision, is to try to inculcate unity and sort of planning together, fellowship amongst leaders who are busy yet want to. And so far, these leaders have seen the value of this, and they have continued to support it. We're planning our fourth gathering in September, and we meet at the Greater Exodus Baptist Church in one of their facilities in the Center City. And we have found that the people have found this to be beneficial. Leaders have come back, and they want to continue this participation and just see where the Lord will take this new round table of Christian leaders.
That's exciting that Christian leaders are meeting, and that what do you think of the different issues that face our society today as a nation?
Well, I think we're in very clearly the post-Christian era, and as one church historian said recently, the church has enjoyed for so many centuries in many places the support of the state, but that's changing. The state now is advocating policies that we as Christians would not support. So we're finding ourselves a minority more and more. So I think this is causing us to see that we need to come together and work together and endure together and witness together more than ever. That we need one another and to overcome some of the barriers and some of the divisions of the past, to reach out and to see that strength in numbers. So that's one of our visions, is to come together to see how we can counter the secularism and humanism of the day by being more united in our gospel work. So that's a great calling, and it's a great challenge, but that is one of the great needs of our time.
Now, this is Paul Carlberg, who is talking with us, who is with City Lights, a Christian light. How can people get in contact with you? We've got just a few seconds left here on the show for the segment, but how can they get in contact with you for this ministry?
Well, I'll give my phone number, and I'll also give an email. That'd be the best way to contact me. Michael, it'd be my number is 610-513-5200. Again, 610-513-5200. And then my email would be pkarl2006@icloud.com. You got it.
All right. We'll see you in a minute.
Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace ambassador, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and how to have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC. And get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's 610-304-1493.
Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. In Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 talents warns us that not investing the master's talents because of fear is wrong. Doing nothing can be a sin.
So what are the consequences of doing nothing?
In this parable, the first thing we see is that the Lord is not pleased. The one talent is taken away and given to the one that has 10 talents. Finally, the unprofitable servant is cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Wow, that sounds harsh.
It certainly does. Now, none of us is a perfect steward, but if you feel like you are just coasting along and it's time to make some changes, please call our office at 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999, on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Some encouragement for your day today on 1180 WFYL. You're listening to It's a New Day. Mike Levins here. Thank you for listening. Paul Carlberg with City Lights, a Christian light, is joining us on the phone right now, talking about how he is ministering in communities in Philadelphia and New York City. And ministering not only in lower-income communities, or ministering with pastors and churches who are involved in those communities, but also middle-income communities looking to put forward the gospel and plant churches. And they're seeing tremendous growth in their communities from planting these churches. You could call in at 610-539-TALK. If you'd like a question for Paul Carlberg. And Paul, welcome again, and thanks for joining us on the program this morning.
My pleasure.
Now, tell us a bit about this one ministry that you're connected with as well. This is one of the ones that you work with, called Amachi.
Okay. It began in the year 2000 under the presidency of George W. Bush, one of his faith-based initiatives, and he was quite supportive of the idea of mentoring at-risk children, especially the children of prisoners, and he really helped to start that program under his tenure. He came to Philadelphia twice in order to encourage it as it was started, and Dr. Good, the first African-American mayor of Philadelphia, stepped into the leadership role at that time and has been with it ever since. And he has done a remarkable job in spreading the story of how mentoring of these children can really make a difference in their lives and their direction, and has become a national program. It's now pretty well embedded in the Big Brother, Big Sister organizations and other organizations around the country to see the need of mentoring these kinds of children and what a difference it makes. Dr. Good heads a board that continues to work in five different states with this program. It continues to receive favor from civic as well as church leadership. Again, I mentioned most of the mentors come from churches, and so he has preached this message in many inner-city churches around the country, and it all started right here in Philadelphia back in the year 2000. And at that time, I got involved because our church proclamation was asked to be involved as well. We were the only suburban church at the time to be involved with mentoring inner-city children.
The only suburban church?
That's right. At that time, we were the only one that was uniting with the inner-city churches to mentor these children, many who at that time were located in the inner-city communities, but as time has gone on, they are, of course, located in families and households throughout the region and other suburban communities as well, so it's become even more expansive ever since its initial vision in the year 2000.
Now, Wilson Good, he also was mayor of Philadelphia for a time. I remember you making that point or at least when we were off the air, when we were talking a little bit in between breaks there. Mm-hmm. That correct as well? And
yes.
Philadelphia Metro West has encouraged the growth of churches and missions. That's your presbytery in Philadelphia, and you are, again, crucial with your ministry, City Lights, a Christian Light, in mentoring and getting the kind of counsel and strategy that these ministries need and working with them to reach people that we're talking about, like at-risk youths, like Amachi. And the website for Amachi is amachimentoring.org, if you'd like to check them out. Amachi, A-M-A-C-H-I, mentoring.org. And you could look them up there and ways to get involved with them. But you've got your hand in a lot of stuff, Paul.
I do, and that's because I've been at this for a number of years, and as I mentioned earlier, it started when I was at Proclamation Church. So it's been a joy just to be there by the side of various works that are making a difference, that are making headway. And I am convinced that if we're going to see change in our culture, it's going to be through the establishment, of course, of more churches that are gospel-oriented and faithful to the Word of God, and also the establishment of more Christian schools. I think one of the biggest means of change, especially in the inner-city context, is the establishment of Christian schools that really make a difference in the lives of these needy young people. That's why I go regularly to the Manhattan Christian Academy, because they're stuck right there in the center of a very, very poor area of New York, and yet they've been there for years doing a wonderful job educating K through 8th grade young people, about 350 of them, in this inner city school in Manhattan. And despite the challenges, they've been able to not only grow, but also to be supported.
What are the changes that you're seeing in these communities now?
Well, I say that as I go to these communities, whether it be inner city low income or others, the challenges of modernity and humanism and the attendant problems associated with abandoning biblical lifestyle are certainly evident. You can go see that not only in the inner city, but also in suburban areas with the drug problem that we have and other problems that we have. If there's going to be any hope of change and redirection, it's going to be through the inculcation of Christian values and gospel orientation in the lives of people. And that comes through hard work, through the work of the church and the school. And there's no easy way to get around it outside of just reaching people and ministering to them and praying that their hearts would be changed and reoriented toward God and the ways of His kingdom.
Now, are you seeing those changes as you're getting involved in these ministries and as you're helping strategize with them? Are you seeing those changes slowly take place for the good?
Yes, I do. I see it in this Manhattan community that has had an impact for the gospel and all the ministries that they have been engaged in, not only the school, but a food ministry and a youth ministry that's made a tremendous difference in that community in New York. I see it in Philadelphia and works like Greater Exodus Baptist Church. I see it in Coatesville and New Life in Christ Fellowship Church and the work that they're doing. I attended their church last week. They had a police forum where the four area police chiefs came to spoke about their work in Coatesville and the surrounding Chester County area and what they're all about, and that was held in that church so that people can better understand the work of police and have an appreciation for what they try to do in our community, and that was hosted by this church. So they're very active in that sense of trying to be practical and holistic in their communities and are making a difference. Many good people trying to make a difference in the midst of trying circumstances.
And you have planted or been instrumental in planting many churches, I would say, in Philadelphia and New York through this ministry, and at least being a part of that and making sure that they are being a positive change where they're being planted, that they're being healthy, that they're based on Scripture. And Paul, it's some great stuff that you're doing, because there's going to be more change, I believe, happening in our communities because of things like that.
Right. I agree, and this is why we need to be encouraged and to, we hear the bad news, we hear the difficulties, but we need to be encouraged about the things that are going on, not just in the city, but also in the suburban areas. There are new things happening and new initiatives. So we praise God for that. We got to get the message out and to keep working together in unity as much as we can.
So that was Paul Carlberg with City Lights, a Christian Light. Number to reach him is 610-513-5200. That's 610-513-5200. If you would like to get in touch with him, maybe have a question for him or two. And you could also email him at pcarl, that's with a K, K-A-R-L 2006 at iCloud.com. pcarl with a K, 2006 at iCloud.com. Paul, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It was a joy to be with you, and God bless your work.
Thank you very much, sir, and we will keep you in mind. We're talking about any issues in the inner city. Now we're going to have another guest with us, with GARE, nonprofit. Don't go away.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia, broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area, singing freedom, shining light. To the nations, 1180
shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL. Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. Homes damaged, trees and power lines down in Illinois and Michigan.
Lightning and thunder and heavy rain and wind and tornadoes.
Holy cow. Oh my God. That thing touched! It touched!
He's a storm chaser who was 100 miles west of Chicago. His video posted by Fox TV station WFLD.
Fox News Radio's Ron Flatter. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says some heavy military equipment's being spread around six countries in Europe.
We will temporarily stage one armored brigade combat team's vehicles and associated equipment in countries in Central and Eastern Europe.
With the idea of reassuring NATO allies concerned about threats from Russia or from terrorist organizations, The tanks and other equipment are going to Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, and Romania. Fox News, we report. You decide.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Under an elm tree in what was to become the city of Philadelphia, William Penn signed a treaty with the Delaware Indians this day, June 23, 1683. A Quaker who took his faith seriously, Penn insisted on dealing fairly with the Indians, buying the land rather than taking it by force. As a result, his colony was never attacked. William Penn addressed the tribe, "My friends, there is one great God that hath made the world and all things therein, to whom you and I and all peoples owe their being. This great God hath written in our hearts to love and help one another and not to do harm."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Well, we've got, and I said this wrong on the break, it's not Gare, it's Gether. Gether. Now, I'm going to ask you how you came up with the name for that, Mike. We've got another Michael in studio with us this morning, Michael McManus, who is the founder of Gether, which is a nonprofit organization that is trying to address needs in our community in a very simple way. Michael, how you doing this morning?
Good, Michael. How are you?
Very, very good. It's wonderful to have you on the air with us this morning. You could call in 610-539-TALK if you'd like. I have a question for Michael about any of these nonprofits. But we're giving you some encouragement this morning because after talking about the headlines, we all need a little bit of encouragement. So, again, Mike, thank you for joining us. I like your name, Michael McManus.
Yeah.
It rolls off the tongue really easily.
Very easy.
Have you gotten that before?
No.
No?
No.
No, Michael McManus. I like the last name. I like the McManus there. That's good. You part Irish?
Yeah. You think?
I think, yeah, yeah. I think. But you look Italian, though. I could see you. People can't see
you.
Yeah,
it's a healthy mix.
Are you Irish and Italian?
Yeah.
I'm Irish and Italian as well, so that's good. Interesting. Michael McManus joining us. He's, again, the founder of Gether. Now, tell us in a nutshell, what is Gether? It's a nonprofit organization, but what is it?
Gether is an organization, and more so a community of people dedicated to serving the needs of others through a monthly membership program.
Okay, so those needs of others, how does that come to fruition? Like when you talk about
how do we find the needs?
Yeah, yeah, or select them, or what are they? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do?
Yeah, so we'll help any deserving individual, family, or organization. So what's great about Gather is that it's not about necessarily trying to solve a specific need. It's just about doing good every month and making it a part of your everyday life.
Now, how did you get the idea for this? What motivated you to? Because you're the founder of this shindig. How did you get started with it?
I am. So the Gather came about really to solve my own need, and I was inspired by my wife's parents, who, when my wife and we first started our family, we had twin newborns 8 years ago, and we were struggling really, really bad, and my wife's parents did anything they could to help us and kind of get us through that hardship. And it's made a tremendous impact on our life and me personally. So I wanted to do that for other people. And in my search for an organization that would allow me to do that, I couldn't find anything. So I said, let's just start one. And that's how it started.
So you kind of you're going on a tangent away from the traditional nonprofit approach, where usually the nonprofit says, give us money, we'll handle the needs, where it goes, how it gets. You know, this, you're more of, you use words like community.
Yeah.
Explain the difference.
Yeah. So we find a lot of our needs from our community, from our members. So right through our website, we have a submit a project form, and our members can say, you know, I have this neighbor down the street that has this need, or I know this organization that I'd love to connect you with. And we kind of follow those leads. And then I personally kind of vet those needs and meet with people and interview people. And then we kind of go from there. So it's not me making those decisions and doing all that work. It's us all working together.
So you're really creating another community. It's a community that you have and Gather.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Now, because that's one of the things you talk about when we're talking about Gather. You talk about how simple it is for someone to be a part, or the simple idea of how it is to become a member. How is that?
Yeah, so we have, there's three membership options. We have $1 a month, and then we have $5 a month, and those are directed towards individuals. And then we have, for small businesses and I guess larger businesses as well, a $20 a month membership option. So really, the idea is that I think
you're really taxing the business there with $20 a month.
It's tough. It is tough. But I mean, because I have a small business, and I want to be able to have my company, you know, give back to the community, and more importantly, knowing that I'm making a difference. And what's great about Gather is that not only is it something that almost anyone can afford to do, including my daughters. Each of my daughters gives $1 a month, and you know, and they're just as important as anyone else. And I love that about Gather. But
how old are your daughters?
8.
They make $1 a month, or they make money to give away $1 a month.
They're working on their first business right now, a pet sitting company. And,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good for them.
Yeah, it's incredibly adorable, and they're learning about how hard it is too. So, but yeah, I mean, I want to be connected to my donations. So every month we share the story of every project on our blog. So, you know, our members can literally say that my dollar this month helped this family in this way, and it's directly connected. So it's incredibly transparent and easy for all of our members to make those connections.
Well, and also these memberships are, as far as price goes, and as far as, you know, commitment, they're relatively low. For a business, kind of being tongue-in-cheek there before, you know, with the $20 a month. But, you know, $1 a month. And that's kind of the, because I got your website open here, and right on the homepage, first thing comes up is small change, big difference. And that's another one of the ways that Gather's a little different than a traditional, you know, nonprofit organization, you know, like the ASPCA or anything else that has a commercial on TV that wants to get you to throw your money at it. Mm-hmm. That you kind of have a very small, I guess, qualification. I don't know if I can put that the right way, but it's to become a member, you don't have to have a certain amount. You don't have to have a whole lot at all. Dollar a month, that's minuscule.
No. And I think it's Gather also is a great opportunity to introduce people into the world of philanthropy. And I know for myself, there's no more rewarding feeling than being, you know, connected to these other families and people who were making a difference in their lives. And, you know, I want other people to feel that, because that's what life's about, you know, being part of something and doing good and giving back. And a lot of people, I feel like, don't kind of have that opportunity. So
now, Mr. McManus, how old are you, may I ask?
I am 32.
32. Okay. Wow. I thought you were in your 20s, actually.
Thank you.
Just looking at you. Thank you. No, just looking at you. So you're, I mean, a lot of people would consider you fairly young, I guess.
Yeah.
They consider me even younger. I actually just turned 24.
Wow.
So I'm pretty young. But, you know, when we're talking about Gather, this idea of being an organic change, kind of coming up grassroots, everyone pitching in a dollar a month, such a small amount, but it can make a big difference. What are the projects? What are some of the things that you guys have done as a community?
Sure. Our first project we ever did was to help a family in New Jersey. They have a son, Aiden, who's disabled, wheelchair bound, and they have a split level home, so they needed a wheelchair ramp. And the insurance company wouldn't help them. They didn't have enough money on their own. So Gather's great for kind of helping with those odd needs that you know, you're not going to have a huge nonprofit say, we're seeking out people to help for this. So it was the perfect first project. And, you know, we pitched in and helped them get a used wheelchair ramp. And, you know, Aiden, he's five now. He's a big, heavy boy, and his mother would have to carry him, you know, pick him up out of the wheelchair, bring him in the house, and then bring the wheelchair in, and then carry him upstairs. And, you know, it wasn't easy. So for her to simply be able to just, you know, bring him in the wheelchair ramp made a difference in their daily life. And I spent the entire day with them when we did that project during the install, and it was just one of the most incredible things I've ever done in my life.
Wow. And you guys are relatively new. I mean, you're only about over a year old together.
Yes.
It's pretty new.
Yeah.
It was February of last
Correct.
Year, you were
mm-hmm.
saying. So, and that's not the only project. I'm sure there's others too.
Yeah. Every month we do a project. We've helped a family in Philly who lost everything in a house fire. So we helped provide them with clothing. We were in Mexico a few months ago doing a project for a place that does rehab for drug addicts and prostitutes, and they needed a new roof on part of their facility to basically help protect the belongings of the individuals. And it was something simple, but it was a need, and so we went down there with another group and helped them build a roof.
Wow. So you really have been doing quite a bit in your only your years of existence. Now, people are only giving a dollar a month. How do you get them? You get the money for things like this to do that?
Yeah. So a lot of the needs. So like for the family that we provided clothing for. I mean, you know, it's not like we're giving them all a new wardrobe. But
sure.
We're doing what we can. So we're in an interesting position now, because we need to be very selective on the projects we do, because, you know, throwing about $300 now a month at a huge need where I know it's not going to impact enough, we're not doing those projects. We're trying to pick projects that we know we can, you know, help and affect.
Yeah, just little things, community.
Yeah, so, you know, there was a project we did last year where we gave garden equipment to a community in Yarnell in Arizona, because they had a huge...
Well, actually, no. Yeah, hold on just one second. We got to hit a break, and then we'll be back with the rest of that story when we continue on It's a New Day.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town hall meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I think this verse has a lot to do with us getting our priorities straight. The words come from Jesus. He said, "Look, you can worry about food or drink or clothing like the non-believer, or you can worry about number one thing." Listen. If you are attempting to be a good steward, we must not forget that in our stewardship, as the great hymn says, we must first turn our eyes upon Jesus.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Talking about Gather this morning. Hello, Mike Levins here. You could call in at 610-539-TALK. We're on 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Thank you for listening. We have another Mike joining us in studio, Michael McManus. How you doing this morning, Mike?
Good, Michael. Thanks.
It's good to have you this morning. He's the founder of Gather, and we're talking about Gather, how it is a different nonprofit, and how they are, with small change, they're making a big difference, to use your tagline there off your website. Again, you can call 610-539-TALK. Now, you were just telling us a story. We got hit on the end of the break there, but you're just telling us another story of Gather, how you guys are getting involved in the community. So go ahead and keep on going there. Tell us.
Sure. So we did a project in Yarnell, in Arizona. It's a small community, and they had a really bad wildfire a couple years ago, and it was a tragedy where they lost all their firefighters. And my wife and I had an opportunity to volunteer there and help rebuild part of a garden. So the project was to provide them with supplies for their equipment for their garden, because a lot of people garden because it's fun and it's an enjoyable process, but for them it was about growing food for themselves. The average age is over 50 in that community, and they're just in a really bad situation. So to be able to aid them in that small way went a really long way for them.
Yeah, no, I mean, just so just kind of providing a hobby to help them, to help them through the process that they're going through, like gardening. Again, that small change can make a big difference in someone's life. That tagline, it's interesting how that's true in different, in different areas. Now, you have been around for just over a year, so the organization is fairly new. You got started because you and your wife were helped out by another family when you guys were facing a tough time.
Yes.
And you're doing all of this as well as running your own business.
Yeah, two businesses.
Tell us a little, two businesses. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my wife and I run M2 Photography. We're just a boutique wedding photography studio based out of Collegeville. And then we also have a photo booth company called Poser Photo Booth Company. And we launched that the same time we launched together, actually. So
you took on a lot there, didn't you?
Yeah. Why one thing at a time? So we've been quite busy. But when we were helped out, when we were struggling, that's when we decided to do our own thing and rely on ourselves. So that's the business we started, M2, 7 years ago.
So you got your degree in photography.
Yeah.
As well, so you're just not a hobbyist. You actually went to school for this.
I did, but just like I tell everyone, just because you go to school for photography, it doesn't mean anything, really. Photography is a type of art that you learn by doing and making a lot of mistakes, not sitting in a classroom.
Well, you've definitely had experience to go with that schooling too, though.
Yeah.
And if you're pursuing that as schooling, then you definitely have the drive to want to do it full time, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you're working full time. You are not only working on that on the weekends usually, because weddings and things like that. Mm-hmm. You were telling me off the air here, but Gether as well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Trying to grow that now as another project. You guys have a lot, and you have two young girls as well.
Yep.
You got a full plate, don't you?
A little busy,
yeah. Yeah. I would say so. You could call in if you have a question for Mike. That's 610-539-TALK. We're talking about Gether and how you could become a member for just $1 a month, and it's a nonprofit community. So they have requests that are submitted by community members of different projects that may be a benefit, and then you get to those in time as you get more people and you get mm-hmm. more funds and you could take on bigger projects, and you really have a community, not just people being a member of something, but if they have a need, they could submit it too, and you're all supporting each other, and that's the difference with Gether than any other nonprofit.
Exactly.
And I wanted to say that because I wanted to make sure that I was getting it, because it is something new, and it kind of comes... I don't know if you're 32, so technically you're not necessarily a millennial, I would say, but that kind of idea I would think is very much a millennial idea, something that's very community-oriented, but it's very grassroots as well.
Yes.
Being able to start a big change like that, and I think you're going to have a lot of people latch on to it, hopefully.
Yeah.
So what are your what would you like to do? What would you like to see Gether become?
So one of our big goals with Gether is, as specific communities grow past a certain membership, let's say where you're from, if they reach 1,000 members, then they break off into their own chapter. So then all of your donations from that point on stay in your community. So you guys start controlling the funds in your community, going to your community and making those decisions. So as we grow, I just see thousands of chapters, and people are then effectively making change in their own community.
Now, Gether is spelled G-E-T-H-R-R. I said Gare at the beginning. I was looking. We had some program notes that were written on, and I missed the T-H. Gether, G-E-T-H-R-R is how it's spelled, and it's pronounced Gether. You could go to gether.org to find their website, and it'll tell you everything you need to know there. And you right now are growing, and you're seeing change happen in the community with these different projects you're taking on. So what is it like being a founder of a nonprofit?
It doesn't feel like anything special. Because I'm just learning as I go and asking for help any chance I get, and just trying to figure it out. You know, I don't feel special. I'm just trying to do some good and make an impact. And I'm trying to also set a great example for my children. You know, cause I want them to grow up and have them also understand that they can make a difference. And it doesn't matter how much you have to give, but simply that you do give.
So how can someone become a part of Gather, get involved, maybe even volunteer on a project or just become a member? How would they do that, Michael?
You simply go right through the website and then you can sign up, choose your membership based on what you're comfortable doing. And then that's it. Depending on the project we do, there may be an opportunity to volunteer. And if so, you'll be sent information about that. And then, you know, if it's something you can do, great, we'll do it. And that's it. And then another thing about Gather that's important to us is to always have that feedback from our community. You know, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? How can we continue to grow? It's not about me. It's about all of us and just trying to figure out how to grow this together.
It's not just one person's ideas. Everyone's ideas are in the mix.
Exactly.
Now, your community is probably pretty local, I would say, for now.
Yeah, I would say most of our community is in the Philadelphia area. We have some from New York, some from Canada. But, yeah, generally speaking, it's local here.
And we got about a minute left in the program. What would you say to someone who's listening right now? If they're listening and you've caught their ear with Gather,
I would say come join us. Be part of this community. I think Gather's something special, and there's nothing else like us right now. And, you know, we're looking for people to help us continue to grow and make a difference and, you know, be part of a community that, you know, is actually effectively making a difference. We're not a large organization and you're texting 6789 to send money to for something and then losing trace of your money completely. Every month you can say my dollar or my $5 or my $20 went to this specific need, so that transparency is there, which is really important. And yeah, just let's do this together.
A non-profit that is of the community, for the community, and by the community. Gather.com. Remember, in all these headlines, everything we talk about, Jesus Christ is Lord. Michael Evans saying I'll see you tomorrow, 7 to 9.
Join me, Carla Dedessi, here every Friday from 8 until 9 for Your Family Matters. This is going to be an epic year, 2015, for Your Family Matters. We are going to continue to protect your family, your faith, while we are having fun. We're going to bring cutting-edge news to you, the current events, current resources, and tools that are going to give you the best family ever. So strap on your seatbelt and join me for this wild ride in 2015 on Your Family Matters every Friday morning. Don't miss us.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL, King of Prussia, Philadelphia.